What I really like about our podcast is how we're named Coffee, Tea, and Cheeseman, but we always drink water. We never actually drink coffee or tea or this. You know? Actually, I've drank tea a few times.
You know what's funny is that when we started it, I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm gonna make some tea every time we do a podcast.
And I was like, I'm gonna make coffee, but we
I've
record so
literally
late.
never once, if you can see us, oh, well, you can't see us, obviously, but both of us have our big ass like hydro flasks.
Stay hydrated, man. Anyways, it's nice to be here. Mel, take it away.
Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee, Tea, and Cheeseman with Mel and.
Toria.
Obviously, it has been a minute, and there's just been a lot going on for both of us, and I'm sure for many of you as well. So, we thought, what better topic to discuss than mental health? So, we put out a little, question on both of our Instagram stories asking people to give us some topics or questions regarding mental health, and it can really be anything. But I actually previously had somebody reach out to me and suggest that we do a podcast on mental health. So I thought it was a good time to go ahead and record that. So here we are today. Gonna talk about mental health. We're
You know,
gonna,
we're all going through it or have gone
yeah,
through it once in our life.
for sure.
Going through it right now.
So, I mean, I guess I'll start.
Well, first I want first, how are you, friend? Like,
I'm good.
I
I'm good.
haven't seen you in a week.
I know. I know. The days go by so fast. Like, I feel like I just saw you not too long ago, but it was actually over a week ago
Yeah.
that I
Oh,
saw you.
it was so hot that day. Oh my God.
Yeah, but I'm doing good. I've had my days. Like,
Worry, I'll fix that.
but yeah, how about you? How have you been?
Same old. I've been good. I just finished school, so you know.
Yay!
Yes, like
Woo!
literally just like to be done with school and also to finish strong, you know, like I have what's it called? My grades came in and it was really good. So yeah.
All A's.
Of course, always.
All
Actually,
right.
I got one B in my entire grad school life, which is fine. But
Okay.
yeah, it was a good semester. Summer semester, I was kind of nervous for it online, you know, because of COVID-19. Like it was everything was virtual. But it wasn't that bad, you know, professors are just super understanding right now, and like even they're kind of just like a little over it too.
Yeah,
Those
for
days, you
sure.
know. My professor in particular just made it a really easy transition, and yeah, I start fall in a couple weeks, so I'm just kind of really trying to take care of myself for the next couple weeks because I haven't really been doing that, you know, which is ties in greatly with what we're talking about
As
today.
you should. And I'm always preaching to you about how you need to take care of yourself and give like yourself at least a couple hours to do something that you like to do or just relax. But I know it's easier said than done,
For sure.
especially when you're like in school and you have work. So I get it, but I think it's super important that you get some time in for yourself also. So I
Yeah.
hope that now that you don't have school,
Don't wave
fine.
that
I have to scold you sometimes because
Yeah.
you don't do it and you
Like I
need to.
honestly say, and I was telling Mel this earlier, like she's definitely someone, I mean, a lot of my friends are good influences, you know, like of my growth, but she's definitely someone that actually like pushes me a little more, which I push back, but I actually do it in the end.
She does.
I'm like, no. But yeah, definitely learned a lot from you in that aspect.
I just think, like, I know that you have a lot of room for growth. You just sometimes it's hard for you to accept that. And I'm here to tell you that you can do it. And I want to see you do it. So, yeah.
Everyone can. It's definitely, I can honestly say from my own experience, it's hard to know where to start.
It for sure. Yeah.
But what really helps is like one even tiny little move can make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And I'll talk about my little moves later.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess we'll kind of start with like your experiences, and then we can talk a little bit about our experiences, and then just kind of go from there.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'll take it away.
I kind of want to hear where you want to take this. I want to take it.
All right. Well, I've had anxiety for about, 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I've definitely been through a lot throughout those 7 years, but I've also made a lot of growth throughout those years. So when I first actually was like clinically diagnosed with it, which you don't even have to be clinically diagnosed with anxiety. I guess for me, it was just like to make myself feel better about it. But if you have anxiety, you know you have anxiety. And there's like no cookie cutter description of what anxiety is. Like anxiety looks different for everybody.
100%.
Everybody. And so the way I experienced it first, and I'll never forget this, I was actually working at the bank at the time. And I had, the thing that triggered it was that I had like too much caffeine that day. And I just remember I started feeling so jittery and anxious and like sweating. And I was at the teller window and I couldn't even talk. And I told my manager, I was like, I need to go home. Like, I just gotta go. And I was like pacing around and like freaking out. And at that time, I didn't even know what anxiety was. I was 22 years old. I was like, I don't know what the hell this is. And so after that incident, I think I went to the doctor and they were like, yeah, you had an anxiety attack. And I was like, oh. So that for me was just like a sign to stay away from caffeine, which I learned the hard way. I didn't do that.
It's so hard to give up.
It really is. But at the end of the day, like for me, it's not worth it to drink caffeine anymore as much. And you know me, like I love coffee.
Yeah.
I miss it sometimes, but I can't put myself.
We used to go get coffee all the time. I remember.
And I miss it. I miss it. Like even passing by a Starbucks and just smelling the coffee and like crying because it's like.
I try not to drink it around her, honestly.
Oh, and today when they, you know, everybody posting their pumpkin spice.
I was drinks. One of
them. Yeah, you were one of. I was so sad, dude. I was like, oh my gosh, that's my favorite.
Yeah. Really good. I'm not trying to rub it in. I'm just saying
good. It's fine. I get it. It's good, and
you make a good point though when you said though like you were 22 when you first heard of anxiety. I feel
yeah.
Like with us being like at least from my experience, and maybe if other people come from a Hispanic family, like it's mm-hmm. just not talked about, like
no.
mental health and that stuff. So you learn about it really late. Like I didn't learn really about what exactly anxiety was or panic attacks or anything mm-hmm. like that until like my like early to mid 20s.
Yeah.
And it's so late in the game because like it feels personally for me, I always felt like something was wrong with me, but mm-hmm. it's actually more common than people think. And
it
needs to be talked about
for sure. And even then, like when I first when the doctor told me that I had anxiety, my mom kind of made it seem like, oh, well, yeah, I have anxiety too. Like, it's a normal thing, which, I mean, like you said, a lot of people have it. But at the same time, like, we also need to think about why we get anxiety and where mm-hmm. it comes from, kind of stuff like that. So, yeah, I definitely feel like culturally, it's almost like we're supposed to just deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it took me a lot of time to find ways to cope with it and like find healthy coping mechanisms because I definitely through my anxiety it caused me to be dependent on certain people in my life, which made it worse.
Were you codependent at one point in your life?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like so at the time that I was diagnosed with anxiety, I was in a relationship. And I was in that relationship for almost 4 years. So I think I heavily, heavily depended on my partner at the time. to be like that security blanket for me. So after we broke up, it was really hard. And after we broke up, actually, I fell into like a depression, which was a whole different thing. Like, I remember my therapist told me that anxiety and depression are like cousins. Like, they kind of go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. So when I was going through that whole depression episode, it was like, it was really hard on me because not only was I experiencing depression, but I was also going through like a really hard breakup. Mm-hmm. So that for me, like, it kind of just spiraled into like not doing dumb things, but like I kind of masked it with going out and partying and drinking and just like trying to hide everything and just push it all down.
Yeah.
Which in turn was like the worst thing that I could have done for myself. So I literally tried like the unhealthiest coping mechanism before I started doing what I should have done in the beginning, which was like seeking therapy, which took me a really long time to do. But what that has probably been like one of the best things that I did for myself was to actually talk with the therapist.
Yeah. And it's actually not as scary as it seems.
No, it really isn't. Yeah. So my first like therapy experience was at CSUN actually. Well, actually my backup. So after I had gone through that like period of depression, I started feeling a little bit better, mm-hmm. but it was because me and my ex had gotten back together again. So it was like, mm-hmm. cool, I got my security blanket back. And then I think at one point I just felt like I kind of slowly felt it like creeping back up. And it was during my last semester at CSUN, I remember. And I was just like, I really need to do something about this. Like, I can't, because I just felt like it was going to keep getting worse and just coming back. So I finally went to a therapist at CSUN and I had my first session. And at the end of the session, the girl was like, you know what? I think that you're better suited to get a therapist outside of CSUN because you need like long-term therapy. And I was just like, that was scary and it hurt to hear that, you know.
My goodness, you're actually, I don't know, I didn't know that the therapist told you that.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever told you.
I know as someone that did the same thing at CSUN.
Yeah,
they were told that and I was mm-hmm. just like, I was so upset for them. Like, I was like, excuse me, like, who are,
yeah,
I was kind of like mad for them because I'm like, they're already coming to you. Like, it just, I don't like the way they worded it. I don't want to say like it sounded like I can't help you, you need someone else.
Yeah,
I don't want to help you.
And that's what it felt like at the time. It felt like they were just kind of, you know, pushing me to somebody else. Mm-hmm. But now that I look back at it, I'm like, okay, it was my last semester at CSUN. I wasn't going to be able to see that there, continue seeing a therapist there once I graduated. So she gave me like a bunch of different like resources and stuff. And I almost felt like she kind of felt bad for me because obviously, like I said, that was my first ever session that I had. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like breaking down and crying. And I was like, oh my God, like, you know.
Yeah.
But after that, I remember is where I found like my permanent therapist, which I loved her. And I know that a lot of times people don't have the same experiences with their therapist where like they feel comfortable with them. And so I was really lucky to find my therapist like at first, you know, the first yeah. one that I found.
Because it really is interesting. You really are confiding to a stranger. Like, and it's, but it's so crazy like how much you open up to someone you just met.
For sure.
That aspect.
It's scary. It's scary because I think even though obviously you don't know this person, you still don't want them to judge you. Mm-hmm. And you still like are hesitant to say certain things because you're like, you know, I don't know. I don't want to sound like a crazy person almost, yeah. you know,
I don't want them to medicate
like,
me.
I don't want them to think that I'm some psycho. But yeah, So it did take me a couple sessions to feel comfortable with her, but I think, you know, towards maybe like the third or fourth session is when I really, really got the most out of therapy with her.
Did your anxiety at all? I always wonder, because like with us being in the field of, you know, education and counseling, understanding how to help students, I feel like it's easier for us to kind of understand one another. Also with a couple of other friends that like just know like when you need a moment or what you're going through, whatever.
Right.
Back then, do you feel like your struggles with anxiety maybe were had a negative or even a positive aspect with your friendships back then? Like, do you feel like people maybe like didn't believe in it or like would say things that were like triggering to you to like maybe even like make it worse what you were going through?
For me, I didn't really tell people that I had anxiety because I feel like anxiety is also a word that people kind of throw around too lightly and they don't take it serious. So when you hear the word anxiety,
someone says like, oh, I have OCD. And
like, yeah.
People who actually have OCD like struggle daily.
Exactly. Which is, I actually try not to say OCD anymore for that reason, because I understand that there are people that actually have like severe OCD.
And so, it's more than just like, oh, I love organizing too much.
Yeah.
It's beyond that.
People for sure. So I think it's the same thing with anxiety. Like people brush it off as like, oh, well, you're just being this and this and this kind of thing. Or you're just like stressing too much or you're overthinking. So yeah, not a lot of people really knew that I had anxiety. And at that time, like I didn't even really understand it myself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, after meeting with my therapist, maybe like the third or fourth time. Oh, another thing I wanted to kind of like backtrack was, being prescribed medication. So I had been prescribed medication because I was having a lot of like panic attacks. So I think at one point I had a panic attack and I went to like the emergency room. And they were like, we're going to prescribe this to you. And I forget what the name of the medication was, but I was like, there's no way in hell I'm taking medication. Like, I've heard so many stories, like horror stories about it just giving you more anxiety. And I'm like, I don't want to put my body through that. Mm-hmm. And so I just threw it away. Like, I never even tried it because I was too scared. But I know that there are people that take anti-anxiety medication and it works for them. So I'm like, you know, if it works for you, then by all means, like, take it. But just for me personally, I couldn't do it. So anyway. And the thing
I didn't know that about you either.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'm saying, I don't tell a lot of people. I mean, you know that I have anxiety, but I don't like to really tell people the depths of like to how bad it is or how bad it was or stuff like that.
It's a personal thing too. I'm like, you can still be so close with someone and still not know like what their daily struggles are and
for sure
thoughts are. And like and maybe sometimes eventually, like for me I recognize like I usually share that stuff when I'm kind of not over it, but like when I've worked through it, like I'm like, oh, this is what happened and this
yeah
is what I'm at now.
Oh, for sure. And I've definitely noticed that about you, is that you'll never tell me when something's going on until after. I mean, you will tell me, but most of the time it's usually like till after you kind of work through it or whatever. And yeah,
I didn't
that's
know I did that till recently either.
Well, I mean, for me, that's just like, I'm a big believer in like giving people their space just because I like my space. And you know this, like if you know when I'm going through something or if there's something wrong with me, if you haven't heard from me in a couple of days. And you're very respectful of like just allowing me that time to kind of go through whatever I need to go through. And then, you know, I'll come back and I'll be fine.
She'll be like, hey. I'm like, oh, hey.
Yeah. So I do the same thing for my friends and people that I care about. As long as you let me know, like, hey, I just need a couple of days or I need a day, whatever it is you need, like, I'm there for it. Yeah. Yeah. So.
And we're like opposite in that way too. Like you like to like be alone in that. I'm very like, I cling on to people more. I'm like, I'm feeling this way. I was like, you need, like, I need like a hug, or I need
to, yeah,
like, tell me something. Like I need attention more than the isolation for me.
The thing is for me, like I wasn't always that way. Going back to like when I was in the relationship with my ex, whenever I was feeling like that, I depended on him to kind of be there for me and kind of like just talk me through it, I guess, to make me feel better. And then I could continue on. But I mean, obviously now that I'm not with anybody, I have to kind of just rely on myself. And for me, it just feels better to feel whatever I need to feel in the moment and then just let it go. Because, I mean, I literally have done pretty much everything you can think of as far as, like, ways to manage it and ways to cope with it. So this is what I feel like works best for me. And that's what my therapist taught me, too. Like, she taught me so much. I miss that lady.
You're actually like one of the reasons I actually started going to therapy is because like you had told me about your experience. You had told me about your experience with it, and like I had tried previously to go just because like you really do need to normalize it, and especially you need to normalize it with your friends. Like I was one of my friends who I'll remain anonymous was saying like you really need to normalize it within your friend group too, especially your close friends, because they're probably scared. And like, if you have experience with it, you need to at least tell them like, well, this is how it helped me. This is what I went through and like what it did for me. And like, when you hear someone that's close to you go through it, it makes it a little easier too, for sure. And like, I think that's like why I was so hesitant in doing it, because like everyone was saying, oh, like you should go, but no one had experience. No one had actually
gone
through it. And so that's why I was just like, well, I'm like, yeah, I understand you're being supportive in that way, which is great. But at the same time, like no one I knew had gone through it. So definitely, like this person said, they said, if you know someone or that's someone that is going through therapy too, it's good to check in on them once in a while. And that's something you did too. And you and Karina and a couple other people would be like would know I had a session and like an hour or so after, like, hey, how'd it go? And that meant so much to me. And I think if you have someone, whether it's your family or a friend going through that, you should check in with them. Cause like, what if it was like a bad session and they really like learn it, something triggered them, or what if they just need someone to comfort them? So like,
yeah,
it's good to check in on them for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And like going back to the whole like being in, excuse me, like our culture and like being a part of a, you know, family of color, I think that was another thing that kind of stopped me from going to therapy, was because my mom, I didn't want to be seen as like the crazy person in the family, you know, because usually, well, now I'm hoping that people kind of like start to normalize therapy. But back then people would associate that with like the crazies. I don't know what other way to say it without it sounding bad, but like,
no, they would,
something was wrong with you.
Word.
Yeah. Yeah. Something was like, wrong with you.
They and would literally use that term like crazy or.
Exactly. And so I think
they would mock like, oh, they have depression, quote unquote, and whatnot. And like, it sucks. Like, it makes you like not even want to bring it up or share what you're going through.
Yeah. So I was kind of like hesitant to tell my mom that I was going to start therapy. I remember, because, and like, I don't want to say this to like make my mom sound bad, because my mom's not a bad person. But I think it's just, again, how she was raised and stuff. She was like, well, why do you need to go to therapy? Like, what for, kind of thing. And I was like, well, you know, I'm going through a lot. Like, I feel depressed. And she's like, not, she didn't say get over it, but it was kind of like, you'll be fine, kind of thing. And I was just like, Mom, that's not what I need right now. Like, I need to talk to somebody about whatever is going on in my head that I don't even understand, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so during that time, like, it did make me sad that I would come home and I was like kind of excited to tell somebody about my session, because I'm like, damn, I feel so much better. Like that hour long session made me feel so good. And I would come home and I'm like, maybe I should think twice about telling my mom or somebody in my family about what I just went through in my session, because I don't know how they're going to receive that information. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
So I think that's why I always try to make it a point too, to kind of just see like how your session went. Cause like you said, I've been there, so I know what it's like to be on that other end and go through the session and just feel those different emotions. And you do come out feeling like looking at things from different perspective, or you gain a new insight or whatever
it is. Yeah, I just remember like talking to my therapist, like I would, when you finally like vocalize it, it really like, you're like, oh, that makes so much sense. Like it really is. It's so relieving too. And for someone, especially a professional, to kind of validate what you're going through and really helps so much, because you make, it makes you realize like, not only that a lot of people go through this, but like what you're going through is a real thing and you're not making it up. And it's, was amazing. I actually haven't gone in too much, which makes sense why I'm feeling this way.
Yeah. I haven't been to therapy in a long time. And part of the reason was because obviously like I turned 26. So then I got cut off the health insurance.
Me
and
right now.
Yeah. So I've actually been looking for a new one recently, but it's been hard. Like I've reached out to a few and I haven't heard back. So I'm still looking for one, but I definitely do miss my old therapist.
Yeah, I really like, I started going to therapy in the fall, and I think one of the craziest things, there was like three significant things that came out of my experience that I was just like, oh my God, this is crazy. And it also makes sense. But one of them being like, I essentially like found out like I had ADHD, and my whole life just made sense. Like it was crazy, because like a lot of the stuff I got in trouble for as a kid, like I was a very hyperactive child. Still to this day, like I cannot sit still. I'm always doing something with my body, like and the way I talk, like I talk super fast, and like I have like 10 conversations within like 5 minutes. Like like it's crazy.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of other things too. Like the list goes on. I actually have, I wrote down a list of things. I gotta find it. But when I was working on that with my therapist, and she was like, you know, these are really high signs of ADHD. And in my head, I was like, no, I don't have that. I was very like in denial, because like, even at this age of understanding like that it's normal and whatnot. And I just thought of like, I just took a trigger back to my family. I'm like, no, like in a Hispanic household, that dad doesn't exist, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, it was so hard for me to, like, come to terms with that. And, like, I remember, like, I was so sad. Like, remember? Like, I was just, like, I don't want to have this, but.
Well, again, like, it's a label that people, like, associate negatively to. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it should be that way at all. And so, I remember you feeling sad about it and stuff. But you're still you at the end of the day.
Yeah. If anything, like, it kind of, like, was an eye-opener to, like, understand you, like, I think one of the main things was, like, my listening problems. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, this makes sense. But, like, now, like, I've been reading up on articles about, like, how to, like, manage that and work through that. And, like, what's hard is to, like, I'll tell you about this later, like, what I've learned, like, what I have to do. And I'm like, oh, it's so hard to, like, have that conversation with someone.
It is.
Like, you know what? Like, I'm listening, but if you see me like not like zoning out, snap me back in.
Yeah.
I'm going to repeat back to you what you said at one point and interrupt you, because I need to engage in this so I stay attentive and stuff like that. But it also made sense too when I found out I had ADHD, because like I looked at my family, I'm not going to say which side, but I was just like, this. And like when I had brought it up to that side of the family, they were like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, look at your blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And I was like, yeah. It's crazy. And it's interesting, too, because a lot of the things that from my childhood that I struggled with, we were now labeling as like, okay, well, this was that, and this was that. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I wasn't making up. Like, I was depressed. I did experience, like, emotional trauma, like, and one of the big things is like, and I never experienced panic attacks until last year. It was my first panic attack ever. And that was crazy. So the fact that, like,
I remember that.
Gone through that a lot. I was like, oh my God, I don't know how people do this. Like, it's a weird, almost like out of body experience, because that was the first time, like, I felt like I knew what was going on. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is a panic attack. But previously, and I don't really share this with a lot of people, but I don't mind, because I want people to know, like, this is real. But, like, I had a lot of crazy things happen to me as a kid, that I block things out. Like, I black out, essentially. Not black out, like, from drinking, but, like, I literally, like, black out, like, in moments of, like, trauma or moments of, like, me to block out, like, just things, I literally black out.
Yeah.
And, like, I have, like, memory loss from that, which is so crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's totally not normal, but I think it makes sense to, like, block traumatic events that happen in your life. Like,
yeah,
those are things that you definitely don't want to
remember.
So,
but it's so scary, because, like, I was talking to my stepsister, and she was telling me, my ex-stepsister, for people who don't know, she was telling me, like, yeah, like, remember you did this, remember you did that, and, like, that happened. I was like, dude, who are you talking about? Like, I don't remember any of that. And, like, when she started explaining to me the situation and this and that, I was coming back to me very vaguely. But I was like, oh my God, I kind of remember that. But it's so crazy. Like, who knows how many points in my life I'm missing.
Yeah. 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 It's tough. It's tough, man. But I think, again, going back to, like, therapy, it kind of helps you work through all of that trauma. Mm-hmm. And kind of realize, like, things that you need to work on. So, for me, like, my anxiety and depression, it stemmed from not being in control. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I still struggle with to this day. Like, little things that you probably don't think are anxiety are actually anxiety. Which is something that I saw this post on Instagram the other day that said, like, what anxiety looks, not what it looks like, but, like, what people think it looks like and then what it actually looks like. Mm-hmm. So people think anxiety is, like, panic attacks and, like, different characteristics. Here, I'll pull it up. What I'm trying to say is, you could totally be, like, a high functioning person and have anxiety and depression.
For sure.
So I can, you know, sit here and post freaking pictures of me with my makeup done, with my hair did, looking all happy or whatever. But, you know, I can still be going through some shit is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
And that happens too with, like, people that are high functioning in depression. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's like, there's this saying, like, the happiest people, like, are, like, have, like, this, like, the saddest, like,
are the saddest
something inside.
I forgot the
saddest. Yeah, like, it really is. Like, if you really look at it, a lot of people who are really, you know,
like, go, always, like, joking around, making people laugh,
are always the last people you expect it to be.
Yeah.
And, like, those are the people, like, that really throw you off. Like, when, so there's some people that have been like, oh yeah, I'm going through depression, like, I'm like wait, like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't seem like it. That's why it's like it's high functioning, like you said. And, like, that's why it's important, no matter how good someone's life is going, or especially for the bad, but the ones who are even, like, even more so, like, oh, going good, always check in on them.
Yeah,
like, you, like, you, it means a lot to someone. You just be like, oh hey, how are you, or hey, I was thinking about you, because, like, that can lead to something, honestly. I've done
that. Me too, definitely. And that's why I think I've now more than ever, I think I've tried to just treat people. I don't want to sound like Harry Styles, but
yeah, don't say. I already know what you're gonna say.
No, but just, like, be nice to people, because you treat people with kindness, and it's so true, man. Because at the end of the day, it's like, you don't know what people are going through, and it's so cliche, but it's so true.
It's 100% true, and, like, as those cheesy quotes are just real. Like, it really does.
They,
like,
are.
It's a thing, man.
But another thing I actually wanted to, like, kind of touch on too was, like, normalizing it going to therapy or talking about mental health for men. Because that, I mean, it's already bad enough that people don't really talk about mental health as it is now, but for men, I think it's just a whole different thing. And so I feel that anybody can benefit from going to therapy, depressed, not depressed, anxious, not anxious. Like, I really think that everyone should go to therapy.
Yeah. And men too, like, it doesn't make you weak. If anything, no. I feel like it shows a different side of your strength that you
made
that decision to go through that and work on yourself. So
I love me a vulnerable man. That's all I'm going to say.
Like, and if you're listening to this too, like, even if you're not close to this, hit us up in the DMs. Like, we'll talk to you about it. Like, we live for this.
I always tell people whenever people reach out to me, I'm always like, please, like, if there's anything that if you want to talk, if you want to call me, text me, please do.
Yeah.
And I have had people like reach out to me and stuff, and it makes me feel good that I can help them in some way or another. So.
Yeah. And if you like are maybe like, maybe you don't feel comfortable talking to your friends about it and like don't know anyone personally that's gone through therapy, mm-hmm. like definitely hit us up, because me and Mel definitely have experience for various things we won't even mention in the pod, but but men, women,
whatever you identify as,
come through.
Yeah, I for sure believe that we need to normalize talking about mental health in general.
Especially in cultures that don't believe in it.
Mm-hmm. But what are some things that have helped you with your anxiety and your mental health?
Definitely, for sure, talking to people, understanding like how common it is, and that like a lot of people are going through it, because it makes you seem like less like alone through it. Just like to start, but like I think I'm still kind of learning, honestly. I'm still like exploring like what's helping me and what isn't. I drink hella coffee. That doesn't really trigger my anxiety, but
I wish I could
what has helped, honestly, the pandemic has helped me a lot with it. I hate to say, because I was a very a busy person before.
Mm-hmm.
I was always doing something, and I never paused to give myself a break. And I think that's why in the fall, like, I had such a breakdown. Like, I literally had a full-blown panic attack, because I just was always doing something, never saying no sleep, and I was doing everything to not deal with me. Mm-hmm. And that contributed greatly to it. Like, I still deal with it too, but mine's a little like lighter than most. And I'm also like learning what my own anxiety looks like, but mm-hmm. I'm definitely someone that also likes control, and what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know the word I'm looking for. I'm very particular, mm-hmm. and I'm learning to be flexible, and I'm learning to understand like it's okay if things don't go like how you intended it to be.
Yeah.
Because that contributed to a lot. Like, I literally like would get into moods when things wouldn't go in my way. Mm. Not in like in a bratty way, but like it put me in that like the unknown. Like, I don't know what's gonna happen, and that really triggered me, honestly.
Yeah.
So I'm still, I can't tell you what it is, but I'm still working through it.
That's good. I think, I mean, that's super important too, that you're like actively working through it, because if you stay stagnant, then it's like you're kind of just going to be stuck there forever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like a lot of people, especially now during like quarantine, the whole COVID thing, I just feel like people have been going through it a lot more.
100%.
So, I mean, including myself included, especially during the beginning. Oh my gosh, I was a mess.
The beginning was the worst.
I was a mess. Like, I couldn't sleep. I was crying. Like, I was, oh my God, it was all over the place. But I also, like you said, I have quarantine to thank for, like, a lot of the growth that I've made, because you're kind of forced to sit with yourself. And you're kind of forced to, like, you know, think about stuff that you particularly don't want to think about, but you've kind of just, like, hidden away in the very dark, dark, dark corners of yourself. And you're just like, all right, now's the time that I got to just go through this. And it's hard, but after you get through that hard, you know, bump, I think it gets better.
Mm-hmm. I think that's also why a lot of people are also, like, having a hard time with this and, like, not doing stuff too, like, through the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Aside from the obvious, of course, of this whole pandemic.
Yeah.
I think, to me, it seems a lot of people, like, are also avoiding that for sure. Like, because, like, we're in our 20s. Like, everyone's going through something. And this is the time where we're really, like, you're learning and growing. And we're mm-hmm. definitely being pushed out of our comfort zone right now, at least from my experience. And, like, where was I going with this? Like, I just feel like not everyone's taking advantage of it.
And, you know, I think it's valid. You don't have to be productive right now. I mean, we're going through freaking pandemic. Like, I'm not expecting anybody to be, like, actively trying to work on themselves.
Yeah, I saw it's hard. 2 hours yesterday doing
nothing. Yeah. It's hard. Like, I've had my days last week, honestly. Even going into this week hasn't been the easiest. But I just, like, I think after I went through depression and I kind of got out of it, I told myself I never want to get there again. And I know that sometimes you just don't have control over that. But I told myself, I'm like, I'm never, ever going to allow myself mm-hmm. to fall back into something that dark.
Yeah, I know so exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I think that's been a motivator for me to just continue finding ways to help me feel better.
Yeah. So what do?
So, I mean, there's a couple of things that I've done during quarantine, but I actually, one of the things that I did was I bought this journal. It's called the 5-Minute Journal. So you write in it every morning and every night. And basically you just write, like, 3 things that you're grateful for, 3 things that you want to accomplish during the day or throughout the day. And then you'll write, like, an affirmation. So you'll write, like, I am confident, I am this, whatever affirmation you want to write.
I like that.
Yeah. So, and then at the end of the day, you'll kind of reflect and you'll talk about, like, what are 3 great things that happened today? What could I have done to make today better? So I haven't been too, like, maybe the past month or so, I wasn't writing in it at all, but then I started writing it again. So it definitely takes some, like, diligence to kind of want to write in it every day, but that's one of the things. And then I think just being aware of people that bring good into my life, I made sure to keep those people around. And, like, with you, I try to check in with you all the time or whenever I can. So just kind of just being aware of the type of people that I'm surrounding myself with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've done my cleanses here and there where I'll, like, unfollow people on Instagram, just accounts that just don't make me feel good.
Yeah. And then that's important to bring up too, because sometimes, like, some people could get hurt by that or butthurt about it, but, like, it's at the end of the day, it's about your mental health mm-hmm. and, like, what's positive in your life and what's affecting you. And if something is, like, triggering you, then, like, you need to get
exactly.
rid of it.
And
that's okay.
I think before I really was, like, conscious of the type of people that I followed on Instagram, but in a different way, it was more for, like, the social aspect and people, like, liking me. But now it's more so, like, what type of things do I want to see on my feed? What do I want to see on my timeline? So the type of people that I follow are, like, people that have that same mentality or have a growth mindset or are positive people, you know?
Yep.
So it's nothing personal. But, and also, like, I follow different types of, like, anxiety Instagram pages or, like, positive quotes or stuff like that.
Yeah. I have that on my TL too.
Yeah, I like for that. Exactly. And I'm always saving stuff, or like I'll post it. It's stuff that makes me feel good, or it gives me like a sense of like, you know, things are gonna be okay. Things are gonna get better.
It's cool too, because like social media has positive and negative effects for sure too, especially for mental health. But like what really helps me is like, I don't know, my algorithm, man. Sometimes like whenever I feel like I'm going through something, like I quotes pop up my TL that are so particular to what I'm going through. I'm like,
it knows.
And I save it automatically, or I'll repost it or something like that, because like I usually repost stuff that I feel like is relevant to not only me in my moment. Like I'll tell you right now, like I don't think I really told you, anytime I post a quote, like whether it's on my close friends list, sorry if you're not on it, or my regular list or my regular post, it's usually intentional to me as a reminder to me.
Mm-hmm.
But same. I don't know. I feel better about myself when I, even though I'm posting it for other people, it's actually more for myself.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I do the same thing. So always pay attention to what I'm posting, because more than likely it's like how I feel. Well, besides Harry, but it's more than likely like what I'm currently going through, how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely like saving those positive quotes and just mm-hmm. stuff like that has helped me too. And then lastly, what is the books that I've been reading?
You've been reading a lot.
So yeah, I'm like, I'm really challenging myself to do that read a new book every week thing.
I love that for her, because she hasn't read her entire time during grad school. Like she's just read textbooks. So
yeah,
I like that she's reading.
Dude, I used to love reading when I was little. I remember, like, I was always getting lost in a book. And then, I don't know, as I got older, it kind of, like,
yeah. Stopped. Books are fun. People
they are fun.
People who hate reading, I think what it is, like, you haven't found what type of books that you like or that relate to you are going to help you. And so that's why there's at least one book out there for everyone.
Yeah.
So explore for that. Remember when we went on a date to Barnes & Noble?
That was the best, dude. Okay, yeah. Literally the last thing that her and I did before all this crazy shit happened was we went on a friend date. We went to the Americana?
Yeah. No, Grove.
The Grove. We went to the Grove. We had dinner at this really cute spot. I forgot what it was called.
Dominique Ansel.
Dominique Ansel. And then we went to Barnes & Noble. It was the best thing. Like
It was so fun.
We sat in this one row and we were just reading.
We're in fur coats and like heels in Barnes & Noble.
And we sat on the ground and we were just like reading books. It was the best.
The most wholesome thing.
It was. And we were like, we should do this more often. And then COVID happened.
I mean, we could go to Barnes & Noble, but we just had to wear a mask.
That's true.
I was thinking about going actually soon.
That's my problem though. We were talking about this earlier, is that I'll buy books. Like I have so many books that I have to read, but I'll just buy them and then I won't crack them open. Yeah. So I want to read everything that I have on my list. And then when I'm done, I'll order my next book. But a lot of the books that I read during quarantine have been like self-help books or like spirituality books, which is, if you want to talk about that, hit me up.
Oh my god, let's just do a pod on that.
Yeah, dude. And then what else? Just like self-love, self-healing books. And I think those have really also helped me a lot. Because again, it helps you to kind of gain insight and a different perspective too.
Mm-hmm.
So for sure, the book thing.
I like books too that like tell a story that you don't even know have like a life lesson, like once you finish it.
The Alchemist
pretty much, but like I'm still reading that, don't tell me anything.
Okay.
But reading is definitely something that helps me with my anxiety too, because I feel like, especially through the pandemic, I'm always on my computer, I'm always on my phone.
Yeah.
And like, that can be so mentally draining.
It's bad, dude. You're like, that's another thing that I kind of set like a little goal for myself, was to limit my time on computer, Instagram, whatever it is, any type of screen time. So I think that's also helped, was like getting outside. And I know it's been hot lately, but just getting at least some fresh air, going outside, getting some sun, talking to friends has been really helpful too. Connecting
go on a friend date.
For those of you that are still kind of like iffy about meeting up with somebody, I mean, set up a little Zoom call.
Yeah. It's still human interaction.
You can still connect with people that way. So I think those are my top three things, was connecting with friends and people that I love, reading, and then the journaling thing for sure.
Those are good. I like that list.
How about yours?
You should try a new hobby.
I am actually.
What?
So I wanted to go today, but it got too late. But I actually want to start knitting. I heard that knitting can be really good for anxiety.
It is actually.
So I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to try to knit. So that's my new hobby.
That was the craziest. Hell yeah, I'm going to start learning how to knit. That was such a mom response. Hell yeah, I'm going to learn how to knit. Also, she has like a hat on that looks like Corduroy the Little Bear, if anyone remembers him from the 90s.
Dude, Corduroy was one of my favorite books.
I was wearing a freaking bucket hat. Looks like Corduroy.
I am. It's a blue bucket hat. I posted it on our story.
Speaking of hobbies, hobbies are so good for anxiety. And mm-hmm. I was thinking about this, like, I had to introduce myself to my students. And like, I was like, oh my God, I don't have any hobbies. Aside from baking, but that's just like a skill, not a hobby.
It can be both.
Yeah, but it's so hot to bake right now. I hate cleaning up, but I think my hobby really is my investment with like watching TV shows and movies. Like, I'm so well-rounded in that area. I'm so annoying. Like, I literally will talk about celebrities like I freaking know them, like, and can connect, like, oh yeah, they did a movie with blah blah blah, who did a movie with this and that. I can really connect. I know that too much that I really am like, oh my God, this is my niche. Like, the entertainment industry is just like my thing, and like, I'm so passionate. Like, don't talk to me about Marvel. Like, I'll go on for hours.
Yeah, she will. But I'm not even hating on you anymore, because I understand.
Mm-hmm. Never thought I see the day.
But it's cool. I think it's cool that you're so knowledgeable in that area, because I don't know diddly squat about anything.
Yeah, like we'll be walking, we see a celebrity, and I'm like, oh my God, it's Blah Blah. She's like, who? And I'll start naming. I'll name like their whole IMDb list, and I'm just like, oh yeah, they did this and that and blah blah. And she's like, I still don't know who they are. I'm like, no, my God. I was like, never mind.
That was just never my thing.
I know, but it's just like, what I need to learn is to like be okay with someone not knowing who it is.
Yeah, that's true. Because you're going to be like, this is your response every time I don't know somebody. You're like, oh, how do you not know who that is? And I'm just like, am I supposed to?
I do now.
I'm like, damn, I'm sorry. So I go home and research. No,
yeah, it's just my hobby. I'm just super passionate about it. And like, that honestly keeps me going, honestly.
It's fine. It's cool.
I'm in the wrong field. I would have had more anxiety in the entertainment industry, honestly.
You still can. I don't think, I mean, we can talk about this in another podcast, but I really don't think that anyone is bound to just one career field for the rest of their life. At least personally, that's how I feel.
No, that's how I feel with careers and also marriage. I don't think there's one person. I don't think there's one person.
Call me a hopeless romantic, but I still have hope for that. I mean, my role models in life are my grandparents, and they've been married for more than 50 years. So I still believe.
I'm happy. Oh my God, the song. I don't have that. I mean, aside from my parents, but even there, I'm like.
Yeah, your parents are cute.
They're cute.
I love them. Lisa and James. Shout out Lisa and James. I know Lisa listens. Hi, Mom.
She does. She was like, when are you guys going to record another one? I was like.
I know. My brother. A lot of people were asking me, actually. I was like, we were just going through things, man.
Yeah, I was like, me and Mel are just having a hard time right now. Like, each other. I'm like, no, just ourselves.
They're
oh, that's worse. I'm like, yeah.
Look, whoever is, dealing with things right now, whether it's anything on the spectrum of mental health, just know that you are not alone, and there are people out there that are willing to listen or help in any way that they can. Like we said, Tori and I were here for you. So just don't be scared to let us know. Yeah. Talk to us.
And also what's important too, and like what I'm trying to like, you know, practice it myself is like, and this works for men and women, like there's and non-confining, whatever you identify with, any human being.
Yes, human.
Any human being is that like everyone's going through something,
mm-hmm.
whether it's an internal battle, whether it's an external battle, and mm-hmm. like all that stuff piles up on each other.
It does.
Especially with the pandemic going on. Like,
yes.
That you need to find what's going to help you, whether it is learning a hobby, whether it is doing a certain activity like on a weekly basis that helps you
going to therapy, yeah,
going into therapy, or even like little practices here and there. What I want to work on for myself is doing little practices. Like I have friends, like how you do your 5-minute like day book, like that's so cool. Like, and like I want to find something that like helps me, and whether that's, you know, I have to do affirmations in the morning or affirmations at night. Like, I have to find something that's consistent that's going to help me. And that's my goal. That's what I'm going to do.
Good goal. I like that. Proud of you. Yeah, so that's another thing that I want to say before we start closing out is that what works for somebody else is not always going to work for you, and that's totally okay. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned earlier in the pod was like, it took me a really, really long time to finally find what was working for me. And that's another thing too, is that anxiety is something that I know I'm always going to have. It's never going to go away. But it all just depends on how you cope with it and how you kind of just allow yourself to feel better. So
I think we'll also be more intentional on our IG to like post stuff like that. If we find something like, oh hey, this would be beneficial
for sure,
like, because like maybe your TL isn't personally showing that. Mm-mm. On mine it heavily is, so
yeah, mine does too.
We'll post like stuff like that, and like, or just stuff that we feel like is gonna help people for sure.
Yeah.
Because you may not have someone in your corner, and like I want to say I'm in your corner.
Me too. I mean, Tori and I got my master's in counseling, and Tori is getting hers in counseling. So I think we know that is another thing too, is that I think that really, really helped, was just being in the counseling field in general has been so helpful.
Yes.
Super, super helpful.
I really like opened up my mind to like, because in order to do our job of helping others who are going through it, like we have to help ourselves.
Yeah. And that's what I think. I don't remember who said this. It might have been Wallace.
Probably.
But she was like, I know, I love her too. Oh, that woman. She's amazing.
Professor Wallace was our professor for our
group counseling.
Counseling theory and group counseling.
Oh, that's right.
For our master's program, and those two classes I learned so much in. Definitely made me uncomfortable, but in a good way.
For sure. Oh my gosh, I think that was the first class that I cried in, and I thought I was gonna go the whole program without crying, and that class proved me wrong. I cried like a baby so many times in that class. It was group. That
mine was first semester when I was like, I don't belong here.
First semester, no, imposter syndrome.
You were in the room with me and I started crying.
Oh my gosh.
I was going through imposter syndrome.
Everybody does. I still go through imposter syndrome, and I graduated already, and I'm still like, wait, what? I got a master's? That's weird. But what she had said was, every counselor needs a counselor, and that has stuck with me till this day.
That's really, I like that quote. You know what I also heard, and I thought, I was like, oh my god, this is so true, because people will point out like, oh, you have so many good things going in your life, like what problems could you have or whatnot, and this person was like, this someone had pointed out to this person like, you have so many good things going on, like blah blah blah, like but I also heard you're going to therapy. She's like I think especially when you're having a lot of good things going on, life is a more of an important time to go to
therapy
and seek help. Do you know who this person was?
I don't.
Who do I love so much right now?
Oh god, of course,
Scarlett Johansson. And I was actually, that's a pretty good point. Like, just therapy isn't for just the bad times. It's even for the good times.
Yeah.
Because there's probably underlying things for sure.
You can have so many good things in your life that don't mean that you ain't struggling internally. That's all I'm going to say.
And also, I know therapy can also be a costly thing, 100%.
That's oh, yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah.
But there's so many resources right now that are free because of the pandemic. You just can't find it. So I actually was listening to a podcast the other day, and they were talking about they have like very inexpensive virtual counseling online. And it's like 24/7. And I forgot the name of it. I'll listen to the podcast again and find it, and I'll post it on our Instagram. But I thought that was so cool because what was really cool about it is because we all live such crazy lives, and everyone has different, no one has time to really, you know, actually go drive to the place and
have
therapy. And like, you have lives, whether you have kids or other obligations or whatever it may be, like, for like, it's hard to make the time. I understand, like, for me it was hard to make the time, but I made a point to do that. I just lucked out with it being, you know, down the street from where I worked. But I think what's cool about this virtual thing too is that, like, you can literally be in the car on the phone with them or like that, or you can
we don't condone driving and being on the phone, by the way. Unless you have Bluetooth.
Like Bluetooth, not like Undercur. Everyone does hands free now. But yeah.
Not everyone.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, please don't drive and talk. Use your Bluetooth.
Yeah, but if you need resources or you're struggling, again, like let us know and
we'll post some things. But also what helps too, like, if you're listening, I found my therapist on psychology.com.
same.
This is not an ad, like, I went on psychology.com, and you can actually look for therapists on there, like, based on your health insurance, based on location, and
whatever, literally everything. There's so many different filters.
You can really narrow
there.
It down. It's like literally a dating app for therapy.
It's for real. It's great. I mean, I haven't found anyone yet, but that's the one that I used to. So
yeah, I looked out. I think I only looked into like two or three, and like my second option was like the one I ended up going with. So yeah, again, we'll post these resources and more.
Yes. All right. So we're going to go ahead and close out, but we can't close out without our song of the pod. So
have been very into 70s music lately.
Oh my gosh, totally. Oh, I love it.
We found this out yesterday.
It was so weird. She was like, she sent me like her snap listening to like the Bee Gees and stuff, and I was like, I literally have been listening to 70s music the past couple of days. So
I want to be a hippie.
Me too. Anyway, okay, so do you have your song?
No, I know you do.
So I do.
So you go first.
Okay. So the reason why I chose this song was not only because I've recently been listening to this artist. His name is Steve Lacy. He's a like alternative R&B/neo soul. Like, I really like his sound. So this song in particular, I'm choosing it because of this one lyric. And I think it ties in really well to what we talked about today. So the song's called Only If. And the line is, if I could travel through time, I think I would tell myself from the past, you'll be fine. And that right there, I was like, I like this song. So that is my song, Only If by Steve Lacy. I will be adding that to our playlist that has been sadly neglected. We are very sorry.
Yeah, but we'll definitely be doing this more. I'm feeling better.
Okay. You got your song?
I do. It's very hard for me to pick a song because...
Yeah, me too. I mean...
Always. It's very hard. But I have a playlist. It's called Driving Through Laurel Canyon because I watched the documentary. Mel, I watched the documentary I said I was going to watch.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. Tell me about that.
I loved it. It was so good. I learned a lot. I got to share with you later. But anyway, it's so hard to pick. I'm going to go with a song. Whenever I go onto this playlist, it's the first song I play because I just like the beat of it. But it's from the band, The Mamas and the Papas. It's called Go Where You Want to Go.
I know this song.
Yeah, it's such an upbeat song. And like, I know the song has nothing to really do with like life. It has more to do with like love. Like, if you listen to the lyrics, it's about like a relationship. But the title of it, like Go Where You Want to Go, is just really significant to me. Like, you know, you can... you really can go where you want to go when you put your mind to it, whether it's like for your emotions or like your goals or whatever you want to do. And like, I really like that song.
Great choice, friend. Great choice. Thank you for sharing.
God, I feel like I'm in group counseling.
All right, everyone. Well, we thank you always for allowing us this platform to talk to you all about our lives and our experiences.
Yep.
And
yeah. We'll be back
soon. We'll be back soon for sure.
And we have news that we'll announce in the next podcast.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Have a great day, afternoon, night, morning, whenever you're listening to this.
Drive safely if you're driving.
Yes. And we'll talk to you all soon.